He's the one who can take a wilderness. Ken and I were talking about it today, and I preached on it a few weeks ago. He can take a wilderness that's dry and barren and harsh and difficult, and he can bring fruit out of that place. Listen, Doug and Rhonda aren't singing from this high mountaintop today. They are singing from a hard place. And yet they know and they show that God can bring fruit from the hardest places. I don't know how he does it, but he does. He's done it in my life. He's done it in their lives. He's done it in the Heisman's lives. He's done it in many of your lives. You've seen it. That's the King we serve. That's the King who loves us. Today we're wrapping up our series on Kingdom Come with a message I'm calling Time with the King. Because you know what? You can listen to all the messages. I hope you are listening to all the messages. You can read all the books. You can sing all the songs. You can do all the do. But when it comes down to it, if you really want his kingdom to come and his will to be done, it comes down to time with the King. Because when you spend time with the King, you start recognizing what is like him and what is not like him. You see it so much easier, so much easier. First, I want to share some good news with you before I get into the message. Because why not, right? It's not all bad in COVID. I've been telling you that since it started, and I'm going to tell you some good news today. I'm just going to read it because it's easier that way. When Nadia first started hosting online Alpha courses through her church, she wasn't sure anyone would show up. After all, the Alpha program is an 11-week course centered around creating an in-person community over a shared meal. Its whole purpose is to create a safe environment for people who have questions about Christianity. If the experience changed to become virtual, would people still come to learn about the Christian faith? But because of pandemic restrictions in Ontario, Canada, where she is, Nadia had no other choice. Here's what happened. Quote from Nadia, "The first online experience proved to me that it's a much easier environment for people to share in." And so we decided very quickly to launch another one. After 1 week of advertising, we got 160 people interested. We were shocked. So we rolled out another one. We rolled out three Alpha courses in a matter of 2 months. She says, "I was blessed to lead a group of 9 people, all with varying degrees of skepticism and agnosticism. And I was overwhelmed to see that all 9 committed to faith. They all had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that has never happened to me before. I want to make that clear. If I hadn't done the Alpha course online, it wouldn't have happened this time. And every single one of them now has a new relationship with Jesus Christ." Woo, that's some good news, isn't it? If heaven celebrates when one comes to faith, then what do they do when 9 come to faith all at once? Like, really? They must throw some kind of party going on. So kingdom come, time with the kingdom. In Matthew 6:6-7, when Jesus was talking, when the disciples said, "Teach us to pray the way you do," because it was really different than what they were used to. They saw a difference in the way he prayed. So they said, "Teach us to pray." So he started talking about prayer. And then verse 6, he said, "But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with Father God, praying to him in secret. And your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly." When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God. "For they expect to hear them because of their many words." Jesus had a sense of humor. He said, "Listen, you want to know how to pray? Don't repeat a bunch of empty words. Pray like you know someone. Pray like you know God. Okay, not with a bunch of empty words. So the question then becomes, how do we get to know our King? Well, that's how I came up with the message from the title of my message today. Time with the King. I also believe it takes time and honesty, because some of us come before the King and we're not real. That we sang about it today. Listen, Jesus already knows your flaws. He already knows how you messed up. It's not a shock to him. He's not going to be like, oh, nope. No, he already knows. So there's no need to, you know, hide it from him. There's no reason. Time and honesty. But I think it also takes intentionality. I don't think it just happens. How do you spend time with anybody that you love? It's not like you just go, whoops, I ran into you at the grocery store. Let's go hang out. No, that's not how it happens. You make a plan to spend time with someone that you care about. That's what you do. So today we're going to talk about our King, time with the King. Of course, the first point that I wanted to make is our King is the King of all kings. He's the King of all kings. Jesus in Matthew 21, 3 through 5, he's getting ready to go into Jerusalem for what he knows is going to be his crucifixion and resurrection. And he gives his disciples, two of his disciples, a couple of instructions about preparing the Passover meal. And then he says in verse 3, and if anyone stops you and asks you, what are you doing? Just tell them the Lord of all needs them, about the donkey. The Lord of all needs them. And he will let you take them. All of this happened to fulfill the prophecy. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your King arrives. He's coming to you full of gentleness, sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Jesus called himself the King when he did that. But he said, it's not like a king you normally see coming in on a big chariot with many, you know, rich horses and rich people around him. This king's going to ride on a donkey coming into town. It's a different king. And then over in 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16, we see again that Jesus is called the King of all kings. It's talking about Jesus. It says, yes, God will make his, talking about Jesus, obvious from the previous verses, God will make his appearing in his own divine timing, for he is the exalted God, the only powerful one, the King of every king and the Lord of power. He alone is the immortal God, living in the unapproachable light of divine glory. No one has ever seen his fullness, nor can they, for all the glory and endless authority of the universe belongs to him forever and ever. Amen. There is no better place to put your hope, especially in a COVID election riot season. There's no better place. I've been reading in Isaiah for a little while, and I am astounded at how many times in Isaiah God talks about the fact that people are putting their trust where they shouldn't be putting their trust. Jesus is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. No matter who is president, Jesus is still King. But here's the shocker, point number two. Our King is our intimate friend. I don't even know how that is possible, that the King of all kings is also my intimate friend. Like what? In John 15, 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I have never called you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. And servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. I don't know how the King of all kings is my friend, but he is. So when I was praying about how to present this today, I felt like the Lord asked me to do something hard. He said, I want you to read some of your journal entries. And I'm like, God, those are really like private. Those are really precious to me. And they're sacred. And I don't know, like I love those people, but I don't know if I want to share this with them because this is so intimate and I'm going to be misunderstood. And he said, do it anyway. And so the ones I'm going to read today was very hard to narrow down, I can tell you that. It was very hard to narrow down. Because as I started reading through them, so what I do is I keep a three subject notebook. You don't have to do it this way. This is just my way, and I'll probably change it eventually. I have over my lifetime changed it many times. The first section I have is for at night, right before I go to sleep, I write down what I think God is saying to me. Okay? Time with the King. And then in the morning, I turn to section two, and I read some passage of scripture. Right now I'm in Isaiah, and I write down what God speaks to me through the scripture, what I notice, or what questions I have, or what I don't understand. There's a lot of questions in my journal. Like, what? Why'd you do that, God? I don't understand. And then the third section is when I write love letters to God. Just what's on my heart, right? So today I'm reading from what God spoke to me on several occasions. He is our intimate friend. He said this on August 25th. My sunshiny Sandy, that's what he calls me. That's one of the things he calls me. That's why my Instagram ID is Sunshiny Sandy, because he gave me that nickname. My sunshiny Sandy, no one else fully knows what your shine cost. I do. I applaud your determination to be kind and loving when you would sometimes rather just be snarky. He's funny too. Our friend is funny. It would seem easier in the moment, I know, but it would dull your beautifully brilliant heart. I'm glad for the way you choose. Rest well. You see, he doesn't talk a long time usually. Sometimes it's longer than others. I should have known I was going to need this. Sometimes it's longer than others. Sometimes it's one or two words, really. One night he said, just go to sleep. I know you're tired. I said, okay. I'm going to read the third one next and then the second one last. On this date, he knew I was in turmoil about some things that were happening. And he said this to me. He said, don't overthink, my sunshiny Sandy. That is not the childlike position. Trusting is, joy is, peace is. I love you, and I will work every detail out. And that was all he said that day. And that was enough. You wonder why I sleep well? Because I spend time with my King right before I go to sleep, and he says the best stuff. Some of you might be saying, well, how do you know that's God talking to you? Because I'm not that kind to myself. I'm just not. I'm trying to be. I'm trying to let my self-talk become more like God talk. But when he says stuff like that, it's clear it's not me talking. First of all, I'm not that good. I'm not that kind. I'm not that loving. I want to be, but it's a process, you know? The last one I'm going to share with you before I go to point three, kind of a story behind it. So many years ago, when I was homeschooling three little boys and leading worship at a large church, I heard a speaker say something to the effect of that he had this arrangement with God that if God ever wanted his full attention and wanted to say something to him, he asked God to wake him up at a special time every night and he would know that God had some word for him. And it spoke to me, and I'm like, with three children at home, homeschooling and leading worship and all of that I was doing, there wasn't much time in my life. You know, Megan, you have three at home. You know what it's like, right? And I just didn't have much spare time. And I had my devotional time, but it just inspired me. So I said to God many years ago, I said, God, if there's ever something you want to say to me and you want all of my attention, I'm asking you to wake me up at 3:33 in the morning, because three, you know, is a God number, right? And I could remember it that way. And I waited, and it never happened. Like, literally never happened until 2 months ago. 3:33, I woke up, and I looked at the clock, and it was like God said, is it still true? You still want to? And I'm like, okay. So I got so excited. I'm like, wow, God's going to give me some profound word for my kids. God's going to give me some profound word for Oak River Church. And I was pumped. I put on the light. I got out my journal. I got out my pen, put on my glasses. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready, God. I was so excited. Thought it was going to be long. Thought it was going to be a vision of some sort. This is what he said at 3:33. I love you. You are a treasure to me, and you matter. You always matter. And then he stopped. What? What? That's the profound thing. You woke me up from my sleep to tell me I always matter? Really? The next night, he gave me some clarification. It was like he was saying, Sandy, that's enough reason for you to hear from me. That's enough reason. I don't have to have a word for your kids or the people you love or for Oak River Church. I love all of them, and I've got them well in hand. But what I want you to know above all else is that I love you, and you always matter. Our King is our intimate friend. Point three, the last point. Our King is our caring dad. And I use the word dad on purpose instead of father. Father. That sounds so holy, right? And so distant. In Galatians 4, 6 through 7, it says this. And so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my father, you're my true father. Some passages call it Abba, which means daddy. Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can have access to everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus, the Messiah. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is our intimate friend, and he is also our caring dad. He is our caring dad. Now, I don't know what your relationship with your dad was like. Probably there were flaws involved because all of us have a human father, right? I treasure my father's strengths and all the ways that he was a wonderful dad, and I forgive all the ways that he wasn't. That's just the way it is, right? But here's what I want you to know. If you had a good relationship with your dad, God fills in all the gaps where there were failings, where there were flaws. If you had a terrible relationship with your dad or no relationship with your dad, God fills in all the gaps and all the flaws. He just does. He is our caring dad, and there's nothing imperfect about him. So I have a couple more journal entries to share with you. Why am I reading these? Well, because God told me to, but also because if God is saying this to me, he's saying it also to you. Have you ever heard a prophetic word or something and you're like, wow, that was for me, but they were talking to someone else? I think that's very possible, that they can be talking to someone else and it can still be for you. So I invite you to receive this word from God to me for you too, okay? This one is my much-loved daughter. See, he calls me all these different things. He just does. My much-loved daughter, you are getting stronger. Do you see it yet? I do. Yes, I have prepared a garden for us. You will love the flowers. There is so much moss, and it is so thick, you can take a nap on it. The perfect temp, he knows I like naps. The perfect temp and air moisture, no biting bugs at all. Yes. You are going to love it. I enjoy preparing places and experiences for you. Rest well. My precious girl, I am giving you manna in this season, daily bread that you need to collect every day. I want you to stay dependent on me right now, especially. I am fully equipped and take delight in having you close to me, so don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. Here's another one. My beloved daughter, you are making a difference far more than you can see. But even if you weren't, I wouldn't love you less. My love is, period. No matter what, period. It is not influenced by behavior or circumstance. It just is. It will always be because that's who I am. Enjoy my love, for I certainly enjoy yours. Wow. Last one. This one's only going to make the most sense to people who are near the same generation as me. This time he called me my Gumby daughter. Who knows what Gumby is? The rest of you need to look it up. My Gumby daughter, you get stretched over and over again. Yet you remain beautiful and flexible. Your peace is unflappable. I am proud to call you my daughter and enjoy every moment together. I hope you hear his words for you. I really do. That he wanted me to share with you. He didn't want me to share with you so that you would go, man, I wish God would talk to me like that. I think it's like, have you ever been watching TV and you see a commercial for some kind of food and then all of a sudden you're craving that kind of food? That's what I feel like today is supposed to be. Like I'm laying these appetizers out for you and God is saying, come spend time with me so I can give you some good stuff too. He will. He's good. He will. Some nights he gives me correction. But listen, it's not like any other correction that I've ever gotten from anybody else. It's so filled with love and compassion and kindness. It's not like, stop doing that. It's not like that. It's like, hey, honey, I see this and it's not bringing the best results in your life, so I'm inviting you to a better way to live. That's what it's like. There's so much hope attached to it. Condemnation from the enemy, there's no hope. You're just bad. You're bad. You're always failing. That's not how it is with God. And then I read Dave's Facebook post this week, one of his Facebook posts, and I thought, that's the words of a kind father. So I wanted to share it with you. Dave, is that all right? Since you made it public, it's public domain, I guess. So he says, I forget what day it was. He said, in my meditation this morning, Jehovah Shalom kept coming up in my spirit. God, my peace, my protector, my healer, my provider. It saddens me that many Christians can't get to that place in their faith of just resting in our great love's provisions. They have to keep fighting battles that have already been won. We need to get to that place early. And live and give from that place of shalom. Those are the words of a caring dad. Those are the thoughts of a caring dad. Our King is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I rest in that. I take hope in that. I put my confidence in that. But I am so thankful that he is an intimate friend and he is a caring dad. So I invite you today, I've laid out a buffet of kindnesses from God. And I invite you to be intentional this week about finding time with your King. And find some way to record it. Because honestly, I would have forgotten so many of these words, but I have them and I can go back. And when I was looking for ones that I felt good to share with you, I'm sobbing on my sofa as I'm rereading all of these words. And some nights I don't even write something new. I just reread what he's already said. And it's beautiful. So find a way. If you're not a writer, there's this awesome app on your phone called Voice Recorder. Hit record and play and just record what he's saying to you. It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful thing to do. Time with your King. That's when you will recognize what the kingdom looks like. That's when. The more time you spend with your King, the more you'll recognize his kingdom. And the more you will see it in unexpected places. You will be like, whoa, didn't... I told you once I was watching The Office on Netflix. The Office, and God spoke to me through The Office. Like, that is weird, but he did. Time with the King is beautiful, but it takes time. It takes honesty. Don't come with your Sunday clothes on. We don't really have that anymore, do we? But don't come with a show. Keep it real with him. Keep it intentional, but spend some time with your King. God, I thank you for the way you speak to us. God, I pray that you would use the part you asked me to share today to create a hunger in all of us to spend time with you so that we can recognize your kingdom, so we can see it, so we can honor you as our caring Father and as our intimate friend and as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. We love you, God. We love you. And we rest in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget, today is Next Gen Sunday, so we ask you to give 1 hour's labor wage or whatever for the whole month to our youth and children. So I call it Next Gen for Next Generation. And so today is that day. We're doing that. But I want to say also thank you. We got a letter this week from Love Inc., one of the groups we partner with. And I just wanted to share some details of it because your giving, your faithfulness in giving makes this possible that I'm about to share. We partner with Love Inc. We give to them every, take part of your tithes and we send it out to Love Inc. every month. And we got a letter this week thanking us because they said they partner with Conrad's and whoever is in need and has a car repair need, they will work with Conrad's to provide help on that. Now, if you've ever been in financial need and your car breaks down, you know how incredibly overwhelming that is, especially if you don't know anything about cars like me. I have to trust. Thankfully, I have a good mechanic that I trust. But, you know, it's overwhelming. There have been times, poor guy, my mechanic, he's a Christian, so that's a good thing. There were times years ago when he would say, it's going to be $350, and I would start crying. I would literally start crying. He's like, it's going to be okay. You know, right? So we partner with Conrad's. We partner with Love Inc., who partners with Conrad's to help people who are in that situation. And then they also are really good about connecting people who are in need of a holiday meal with churches who are providing holiday meals. So people call them and say, hey, we need a Christmas meal or a Thanksgiving meal this year. And they say, okay, go to this church. They're doing meal distribution at this time on this date. Like, that's amazing, right? And then the last thing I wanted to share with you that they do is they actually provide budget coaches free of charge for people who are in a bad financial pattern, and they, you know, it kind of keeps them in a bad place. And so they provide budget coaches for them who, if they want it. Your giving makes that possible. I just wanted to tell you, thank you for that, because I was encouraged by the letter and I thought you would be encouraged too. Next week, we start a new theme. It's really a continuation of this month going right into a new month, but it's perfect for election month. The title of the series is One King. One King. Don't ever forget it. Yeah, One King. One King. Dave's kicking it off next week. Can't wait to hear his thoughts on One King, because I know he has some good ones. Right? I hope you have a fantastic week. Know how loved you are and spend some time with your king, okay? Love you.